The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Dr. Mike McFarlane in studio with me and Autumn Warren. Hey, everyone.
Hi. Hey.
Well, you know, I have an injured finger, and so I'm a little cumbersome here today. I can't even get my mic in the right spot. I don't know. Danny, it's look what it's doing.
Just trailing.
It doesn't want to stand up straight and be correct. But there anyway. All right. Well, I'm excited about today's show. I really am. We've got Autumn Warren in studio. We're going to be talking about oil pulling and the benefits of it. Have you ever done it, Dr. McFarlane?
No, I haven't.
I tried it a couple of times, but you're supposed to leave it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'll clear up some.
You'll clear up some of the mystique around the oil pulling and what the benefits are. And I'm very excited. We have the author of the book Rescued, What Second Chance Dogs Teaches About Living with Purpose, Loving with Abandon, and Finding Joy in the Little Things. His name is Peter Zeutlin, and he is the author of the New York Times bestseller as well of Rescue Road. This man is just a gentleman. He's a gentleman, and he's written these beautiful books about animals and to help us all discover the astonishing lessons rescue dogs can teach us about life, love, and ourselves. So I'm looking forward to speaking with him. And I think it's so important that we rescue animals and hold them, you know, in such a high place because they're amazing. All animals are amazing, but especially dogs. You know, they give you the most unconditional, pure love I think you can experience. And cats,
exactly.
Too. But dogs seem to be more expressive, you know, and less selfish. They're more serving.
This morning, I took my cat to the vet at 8 a.m.
Oh, wow.
The diagnosis was that he was stoned. She's like, do your neighbors have catnip or marijuana plants?
Oh, my gosh.
He literally wouldn't wake up. Like, we were picking him up. And I'm thinking, it's 8 a.m. on a Monday morning, and I'm at the vet and being told that my cat is stoned, and he's a rescue. And I'm like, and I still love him. That's amazing. You know, it's amazing, this love. I'm like, all right, he partied too hard last night. And
so how do they know he was stoned?
Because they did blood. This is a great low-cost clinic near my house because our neighborhood has tons and tons of ferals, so they're always like helping with the cats. I mean, he's not a feral, we rescued him, he bottle fed him and everything, but they did the blood work right there on him and like read his results to me. I mean, even the vet was like trying to like rub his tummy, and like he's always been a very lethargic cat in the first place. Like, I think I attribute it to being manhandled by my daughter, but I mean, this is a new level.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't even open his eyes. And so he was weird last night. And then this morning seemed a little bit better, but I didn't know what to think of it. And she ran everything. She she touched his little tummy. She's like, he doesn't appear to have any sort of blockage. His eyes look clear. His teeth look great. And she did all those
blood
work. Just
a little bloodshot.
Yeah, I know. And so she's like, my official diagnosis is that he's really sleepy. She's like, probably from some sort of sedative, like catnip or marijuana.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Could he have eaten a pharmaceutical that was out on the street?
Not from my, that's what my husband said. My husband's like, he's out there like dealing drugs at night, you know? This cat has this whole other life we're unaware of.
Or maybe mushrooms.
Yeah, who knows? Who
Wild
knows what
mushroom.
It is?
Is it an indoor-outdoor cat?
He's indoor-outdoor. Okay. He's one of those cats that's like totally wild. Like, I could not keep him inside if I were to try.
Yeah,
he's
my sweet, long gone, unfortunately, cat Bounder that I rescued off the streets of Arlington was like that. He was a Maine Coon and beautiful,
pretty.
Beautiful, sweet, smart cat. Like, he was running the property. Nothing happened. He was running it. It's crazy. He was such an amazing cat. But he was indoor outdoor, and he would come in, you know, to make me happy, I think, more than himself, because I used to worry about him when it was cold or it was too hot or, you know, there were storms. But he loved love being outdoors. And some animals, especially cats, do. I don't think that's really safe to have dogs running wild.
No, they can
get into it. They're not as smart about
it. Cats seem more savvy, for sure.
Yeah, they're more savvy, and yeah, absolutely. But I'm really looking forward to having...
Well, maybe he's part of a cattel.
That's a good one, Tammy. Oh, geez.
A drug cattel.
That's funny.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's funny. Well, you know, of course, I just want to have a moment of silence for all the lives that were lost in Las Vegas. I have not seen the video. I don't want to watch it because I'm stressed enough this morning. I really am. And Lexi said it was very disturbing. Don't watch the videos. I'm just very sad. And I think that we need to take a moment and say a prayer for everyone and pray for this country, too, because something's very wrong. You know, something's very wrong. I don't know what, but, you know, prayers to all the family and families out there that are suffering. So, you know, say a little prayer. And now that, I've taken us to this very low place, but it's real, right, Dr. McFarland?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you want to say about what happened? As a PhD, you're a psychologist here in the Dallas area in the private practice. What do you say?
Well, it's a tragedy. And I think that, you know, it's just so recent that before we have a countrywide rush to judgment, that we support those people who are not only right now, some people are still in the throes of recovery, you know, from this event, but also to support the family members and friends of people who've lost someone dear to them, and to help those around us heal before we start casting more stones and use this as yet another opportunity for political divisiveness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, very well put. What about the children? It's all over television. I know that. I heard it. It's all over radio. What do you say to a child that is exposed to this? I don't want my daughter to see it. Life is traumatic enough. It's just like, where does it stop?
Right. Well, that's tough because on the one hand, you know, you've got to think of age appropriateness. And certainly if it's a very young child, shielding the child from any visuals and minimal or no discussion of it is certainly appropriate. As a child gets older, we've got to think about, you know, they're going to hear these things.
Right.
So we want to put it in context. Right now, there's not a lot of context to put around it because we don't know enough about the shooter or how well it was planned or if he was doing this all by himself. So minimizing the discussion is important. And then one of the things that we learned research-wise from the trauma associated with the tragedy of 9/11 is that excessive and repetitive exposure to visually seeing these things can actually create traumatic experiences for people just by watching. So
it's sort
of a vicarious thing. And there's no real benefit in watching these things over and over. So that goes for adults as well as children. But I would minimize your child's exposure to the visuals. I haven't actually seen any of it myself.
Yeah.
But I would minimize that and, you know, both for your children as well as yourself.
Yeah. And life's very traumatizing in itself. And so, you know, I selfishly didn't watch it this morning, after I found out about it. And Lexi said, no, don't watch it. But, you know, I'm suffering with trying to survive myself right now. I've got this really bad cut, Danny. I cut my hand really, really bad Saturday night. I almost cut the tip of my finger off.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't want, everybody said, you got to go to the hospital. I'm like, no, because I probably should have gone and gotten stitches, but then they would have tried to put me on antibiotics and I can't really take antibiotics without being admitted in the hospital because I go into shock from it. I'm severely allergic to antibiotics. And so, you know, I didn't know what to do, but I'm like trying to survive myself this morning.
Right.
I know this seems pretty minor compared to what happened in Las Vegas, but I just, you know, I'm trying to preserve my own happiness
right.
to some degree.
Absolutely.
Because it is traumatizing to watch. I'm a total empathetic person. I know if I watch any of that, it's going to hit me hard.
Sure.
It's going to hit me very, very hard.
And we have to shield ourselves. We have to keep ourselves in a safe place, so to speak. And part of that, and we have to know ourselves, part of it is knowing what our level of tolerance is for exposure to these kinds of things. And if it's something that's highly distressing, stay away.
Yeah.
You know it happened. It's an absolute tragedy. It's a local tragedy. It's a personal tragedy. And it's a national tragedy. that's enough for some people to know.
Well, and you know, you as a licensed psychologist, I mean, you treat you specialize in anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, male body image, and eating disorders, which seem, you know, that this person, the profile of the person that did this, we don't know, and they're gone too, so we'll never probably know exactly what happened inside that man's head. But you have to ask yourself, as a fellow American, like, what went on with him? Why? What would cause someone to do something like this? And you
know, the only thing we get right now is from the family members, and they're scratching their head because he wasn't political. You know, there was no political motive, that what they think. He was just a retired 64-year-old man. And again, his family members might be protecting him or protecting the family name. But, at you know, right now, we don't know what was going through his head.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's pretty scary. Was he? Do we know if he was on any type of psych meds or anything like that?
We don't know anything like that right now. But, you know, the thing is, if the family has no awareness right now, that certainly doesn't mean that they are fully informed of the kinds of things that he might have thought or believed or engaged in or planned. So oftentimes, you know, these things come out after the fact, and the family many times are the last to know.
The last to know. They become disconnected, which is very common when there's someone in the family that's got mental illness. It's very, very powerful. I've lived it firsthand with my oldest brother. And so, you know, prayers to the family. Stay tuned.
Prayers,
you're listening.
The victims,
yeah. And the victims as well. Yes. Yeah. You're stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com, or at the door. Mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. And don't forget, mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
You and me, we were the pretenders. We let it all slip away. In the end, what you don't surrender, well, the world just strips away. Girl, ain't no kindness in the face of strangers. We ain't gonna find no miracles here.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Dr. Mike McFarland, PhD, in studio with us today, and Autumn Warren. I love these two people. I really do. Autumn Warren is a self-taught vegan cook. She's a mom of two, researcher of all natural remedies. She's an animal lover as well, and she teaches free meditation and yoga classes, and she has written a children's book. But the thing that makes this girl like so super cool is she is the inventor of Ether Elixir, and I love the product. And you know, I say this all the time because I think it's important that you know that, you know, Autumn and I are just friends. This is not a business thing here. I love her product. I feel that it, for me, it's products like Ether Elixir that keep me, I think, alive. And I say that very seriously because of my autoimmune disorder and because of my extreme allergy to antibiotics, I don't have a lot of options when I get sick and I have to really, you know, fight an infection like I'm fighting right now in my hand. I almost, you'll laugh, Dr. McFarland, this is super funny. So this morning when I was trying to shower with one hand, which in itself, and not get my other hand wet. And I was like, I don't think I've ever done that. And if I have in a very long time, probably since my cat scratch fever. So anyway, I had the little bar of soap and I was going like this, you know, trying to clean the right side of my body with my left hand. And anyway, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get an infection. You know, I need to, you know, I had all these things going through my head. Sure. And so I looked over at my arm and I was like, you know, my eyes like popped out of my head like, oh my gosh. And I think it was because just a few minutes before that, I was changing a cat pan. And I couldn't carry it like I normally would. So I had the plastic thing lined up against my arm and it made it a little red here and then left a line down my arm.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh. Oh,
wow. So when I looked down, I was like, oh my God, it's going under my blood. I'm going
to
die.
You know what?
And so I was like, oh, I can't do the radio show. I have to go straight to the hospital. You know, I started to like wig out a little bit, which is not like me at all. But, you know, then I calmed down a little bit and I truly am thankful for people like you that want to make natural alternative products that can, you know, keep all of us healthier and happier and alive. So that's my...
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, same reason for me. It was to keep myself and my children healthy. And
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm so happy that it helps other people as well.
And you guys sell it at Natural Grocer. Where else do you have distribution now?
Oh, goodness, we're everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like, check my website at probioticsyall.
And she'll never brag about herself, so I have to do all the bragging for her. But yeah, it's Probiotics Y'all, and I buy mine at Natural Grocer. And is it in Central Market now, too?
Not yet, but we are in like their staging review process, something okay. businessy like that.
And where else is it?
We honestly have about 450 different retailers right now.
Wow.
And we're spanning everything from, pretty much the whole central United States and then the West Coast. And we're making moves right this month for, we're already approved for distribution in New York and Chicago. We just
Yay.
Have to go.
That's so cool. That is so,
neat.
So cool.
It's really neat.
And she's still remains so down to earth. I love that about Autumn. And there was something. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. You know, when I was reading over the last couple of weeks, one of the things that I discovered, Autumn, that I didn't get to really talk with you about because I haven't seen you since I discovered it. I'm on this thing about sucralose. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've read and read and read. And in my opinion, based on what I've read off of Dr. Mercola's website and what Dr. Nasha Winter, who's a big keto woman, she's an incredible scientist, Dr. Nasha Winters, she writes in her book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, that you should avoid for artificial sweeteners at every cost. You know, you should just stay away from them, and that includes sucralose. And so it was in a product that I recently thought was a clean product, which I no longer feel that way, of course, after knowing they put sucralose in it. And here's one of the main reasons that this is the connection with you, is that they say, Dr. Mercola and the research they've done so far say that it destroys 50% of your good gut microbiome.
Oh, sure. It's disrupting their environment. Totally.
How does it happen? Like, what does it do?
Well, it's essentially going in there and it's not absorbed. It's not utilized like a natural product would be. So, you know, the bacteria, they're all like living in their little habitat. And so when you have something that comes in there that's invading and that's going to essentially slow or hinder digestion, anything that hinders digestion, hinders nutrients being absorbed properly, it creates a breeding ground for the bad bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need. You need to just make the right conditions for the bad bacteria and they take over really quickly. And so then and the more that you put, the more artificial sweeteners you take in, that it just propagates the problem over and over again. And you can never tip the scales back to having more good bacteria, because there just aren't that many ways in the clean society we live in, you know, where we over sanitize our produce and where the ground doesn't have the right microflora in the dirt and everything like that. The natural ways to get probiotics are nil. I mean, especially when you're living in a city or anything like that. So something like a high quality, live and active probiotic, that helps reset the balance. But without that, I mean, you've just got too much bad bacteria.
Well, and this is also called Splenda. Okay, so yeah. I'm reading off of Dr. Mercola's website here that I printed out some of this stuff out. And it says that an in-depth scientific review of sucralose, aka Splenda, reveals an extensive list of safety concerns, including toxicity, DNA damage, and heightened carcinogenic potential when used in cooking as well. When heated, it releases chloropaphenols.
Not a good scientist. You can't pronounce it.
You can't pronounce it, right. Whatever it is, it's bad. Okay, and so, which belong to a class of toxins known as dioxins. And dioxin is a component of Agent Orange, is among the most dangerous chemicals known to man. Sucralose can destroy as much as 50% of the microbiome in your gut. And what's worse, it appears to be targeted beneficial microorganisms to a greater extent than pathogenic and other more detrimental bacteria. And it just goes on and on. And so, and then, you know what? So I even found it in my, mouthwash.
Yeah.
Had sucralose in it. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's in a lot of sports drinks.
It's in toothpaste too.
It's all over the place. And it absorbs right through your gums and your cheeks and your mouth like immediately.
Which is why oil pulling is so important.
Exactly.
Well, I've been meaning to ask, you know, some of our experts, and I always forget. But, you know, pure cane sugar compared to, you know, obviously the artificial sugars, you know, go for the pure cane. But do you know what the difference is in those little packets, those little brown packets that says raw sugar?
The raw sugar just hasn't been filtered as much usually.
So is it healthier?
The little brown packets, I believe the little brown packets are going to have like more molasses content to
them. Because they are brown and they're bigger granules,
yeah,
so they're not bleached.
Yeah, I mean, the size of the granule doesn't mean anything, honestly, when you're eating it.
Right, but
yeah.
Danny, you're better off eating sugar. Yeah. You're better off eating sugar than the raw sugar.
A raw sugar is better than a heated sugar. I mean, for sure. Anything that's closer. I tell my kids, I'm like, eat something as close. You know, they're like, we want a snack. Can we have chips? And I'm like, you can have chips after you eat something that looks like it came from the earth.
Yeah.
You know, like get it as close to whatever it is. You know, an apple's pretty close, you know. But if you're going to have something, if you're going to have sugar, get it as close to as it naturally comes.
Because you always see those at like, you know, go to Starbucks and they always have the white sugar.
Right.
You know, on the white packets, and then they have raw sugar. I was wondering if that's just a little ploy to, or if it's just the same thing, or
but it's a little bit better.
Well, look at what I pulled out of my I went to Norman over the weekend. That's how I cut my hand doing dishes, a big glass bowl, sliced my finger. But I pulled this. I'm like, you cannot have this. It was Colgate Total Whitening Toothpaste. I replaced it with David's Whitening Natural Toothpaste.
Really? That's what I,
it's got triclosan.
It.
It's got triclosan in it. Triclosan, isn't that what Stephanie said?
Yes.
It's like destroying our algae?
Yeah.
I wouldn't quote me by that,
okay,
but
pull
I
it
think
up.
You're right.
Pull it up, because I was like, this is contraband. I'm taking it. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries, but I'm taking this.
Do you know a great way to whiten your teeth?
How?
Oil pulling.
That's right. That's right. And they sell it in like a tube of...
No. You don't need the tube. That's silly. That's marketing. I mean, I don't want to knock on small business, but you can just use the big vat from Costco. You don't have to have the cute little tube.
So oil pulling. What is the main objective of oil pulling?
The main objective of oil pulling is dental health, oral hygiene. I mean, it does have... It roots back to Ayurvedic medicine. So it does have an all over body detoxification if you want to go that deep into it. You know, it's not anything from curing cancer to, you know, curing migraines. But for just simplicity, it definitely helps with oral hygiene and dental care. I can say personally, I have rehealed cracked molars that my dentist was like, we need to crown those. And I'm like, you're not crowning my teeth, dude. I'm going to oil pull. And he's all, okay, don't call me on the weekend, you know. And like we left with this handshake understanding. But that was 6 years ago. And the last time I saw him, I have since switched to a holistic dentist. But the last time I saw this regular dentist, he he was like, you know what, that tooth is healed. And I'm like, aha, I told you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so, and you told me. Okay, so this is all relative, because this is real life stuff, how you can heal. Oh man, we got to go to break. Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk about this. We're going to have to continue to talk about it a little bit. We'll get Peter interviewed here. He's coming. Peter Zoytlin. He is the author and freelance journalist of the best-selling book, Rescued. And we're going to have to go back to this, because there's some very, very relative points here. And I want you to tell all of our listeners about the cream that you told me about, the
ozonated
olive oil that is going to heal my finger overnight. Yeah. We will
miracle.
See. Miracle. All right, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got Peter Zoytlin coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, y'all. It's Bernadette. You know I'm Italian, and my dad always said there are two kinds of oils in this world, 100% organic extra virgin olive oil and those that wish they were. Celebrate the health benefits of olive oil and the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web by the Stanley Brothers. Infused with 100% extra virgin olive oil. For thousands of years, societies used hemp to promote health and wellness. CW's proprietary hemp genetics are rich in naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. Feed your endocannabinoid system the best natural Colorado wellness. Charlotte's Web. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley, Danny Miles. I have Autumn Warren in studio with me and Dr. Mike McFarland, Peter Zoytlin, his PR agent. Obviously messed up, so we don't have him with us today. So, but we'll get to him at another time. It's a great book. The name is Rescued. What Second Chance?
And it releases on the 3rd.
On the 3rd of October. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful. It's a great read. It's a great bedtime story, especially like if you just love animals or you want something to make you feel good in this crazy, you know what, world that we are living in light of everything that's happened in the last 24 hours in America. A good read like this will make you feel a little better, I think, right, Dr. McFarland?
Definitely.
We've talked about this on the air before. I think it's one of the first, you remember that? It's one of the first segments that you and I did together. It'll pop in my mind, I think, as
about
we go
the benefits
along.
Of pets?
Benefits, something about, like doing something like this, reading something good when there's a lot of bad going on in the world.
Oh, right.
To offset
absolutely.
The trauma.
Yes. Yeah.
And try to find good things to think about instead of living in fear that causes so much anxiety. You being a specialist in that field, it's right.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so much out there that we can look at and we can read and enrich our lives. And not that we should ignore or pretend like these negative things aren't happening.
Right.
But we can counterbalance them by expanding our minds and thinking about things that are much more enriching, mm-hmm. much more positive. Forward looking.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to do this myself today. It just popped in my head. I'm just, you know, like, what can I do to offset what happened in Las Vegas? Well, what I can do is personally, like, play a little game with myself today and try to touch 50 people's lives after the radio show and go make 50 people happy, whether it's by smiling at them or giving them a compliment or saying, oh, you know, I don't know. I'll think of something, but something to spread a little goodness out there. And if we all did that, you know, it'll offset some of the negativity, I think.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But the idea of just random acts of kindness are so powerful.
They are.
And you just think about the last time that someone surprised smiled at you and how that brightens your day.
Yeah.
and how you pass it on then.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yesterday when I was at Petco with my daughter, and this is a silly story, but it just popped in my head when I was talking to you. So we were in the parking lot walking through and with my daughters and her boyfriend, and this woman went to back out, and she almost hit us, but she didn't do it on purpose. She wasn't being rude or anything, and she was mortified afterwards. She was so sorry, but her beautiful expression and how she was like, I'm sorry. You couldn't hear her. You could just see it from in the car. Just made you feel like, wow, there's some really good people out there mm-hmm. in the world, because she was just so nice about it.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
It makes you feel good. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. And there are a lot of sweet women in Oklahoma. I don't know what it is about Oklahoma, but there is a lot of sweet people, especially women in Oklahoma. So, but to get back to what we were talking about with Autumn before the break and the oil pulling benefits, we were talking about the microbiome, of course, because Autumn is an expert in that field. Yes. And so, you know, with triclosan and sucralose and all these horrible things that are in products, thanks to these big companies that want to produce stuff cheap at any cost, right?
And people are putting it in their mouth two times a day, for goodness sake.
Exactly. No wonder we're sick.
Exactly. And no wonder why people have so many dental problems when, I mean...
And mental problems, because
Let's just blame everything on toothpaste.
Your gut microbiome, though. They know now that it affects your anxiety and depression. Yeah. ADHD, sure. Even different forms of schizophrenia, that's pretty damn extreme.
Yeah, your gut communicates directly to your brain, to your nervous system. So, I mean, anything that you're doing to damage it is damaging, I mean, a whole host of problems.
Well, so this natural dentist that you go to now, give him a shout out and tell people where he is. And he sells this olive oil.
The ozonated olive oil. But this isn't what you oil pull with. I don't want to confuse anybody. Yeah. You can just oil pull with regular oil.
Coconut oil.
But my dentist, I see this new dentist after I got into this little tete-a-tete with my old dentist. I mean, I won. But I decided to switch dentists anyway so that I'd be more on the same page with the next person. And so I see Dr. Attar at Pride Dental in Arlington. There's two doctors there, Dr. Attar and Dr. Sprinkle. But I mean, yeah, I know, it's such a friendly name.
That doesn't even sound real. It's like they're made up names.
I know. But the whole office is that way. Like, I swear when I go, I've been taking my kids recently and they're like, all right, mom, like wrap it up with the dentist, you know, because I'm sitting there, we're like exchanging like health tips. It's just a fabulous place to be. He always has printouts where he does write-ups on certain products sitting in his waiting room, and I'm like reading about them, and it has his take on it, plus a few like excerpts from, you know, internet resources. And he sells just the most random stuff, and
I can't wait to get him on the show.
It's very exciting for me.
Yeah, so he sells this ozonated olive oil,
which is, I mean, putting ozone in things it's an ancient thing, but I mean it's become more popular, but I mean it has all kinds of healing benefits.
Yeah, and same with like hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have had
Garub
Chakrabarty, okay, mm-hmm. on the show many, many times. He is a PhD and an MD. He is amazing. And he and his friend, who they both went to MIT, another PhD, invented plant-based hydrogen peroxide. He's been on the show several times, but he's in like the final phases of using hydrogen peroxide to cure pancreatic cancer specifically. And so when I hear stories like that, I mean, why do we not go to Mother Nature more? Why do we not trust Mother Nature?
No, I don't know. I think people are looking for some authoritarian figure to tell them what to do, you know, and it's like you're yourself, you know, look to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can figure out most of your own problems all on your own. You don't need somebody else telling you what's best for you in most cases.
Well, I'm so curious about the oil pulling. So what does it do?
Okay. It does all kinds of neat things. I mean, you can use olive oil, you can use sesame oil, or you can use my favorite, which is just coconut oil. And you take one or two tablespoons, which seems like a lot. So like maybe start out with one
and
put it in your mouth. Yeah, like just like you're eating a bunch of oil, but don't swallow it. And then just swish it around. With coconut oil, it'll be a little bit hard at first and then it loosens up. And you just swish it. I do it in the shower every day for the last 6 years. And you just swish it around in your mouth. And what it's doing, it's disrupting the biofilm of the bad bacteria or any bacteria in your mouth, really. But then your teeth are porous. So it's also allowing the fat fatty acids and the enzymes that are present in the oil to go in and out of your teeth, which stimulates enamel production, stimulates your own body's way to heal itself. It removes bad breath.
What about bleeding gums? Because so many people have trouble with that.
It reduces inflammation. So I had a problem with bleeding gums, and it reduced it and. Reduced it only after 6 months with the bleeding gums. And so it's one of my favorite things to use. I try to get my kids to do it, and I've just noticed it started to become popular. There's stuff on the shelf as far as like at Whole Foods. You'll see like a tube that looks like toothpaste. But I mean, you have to use quite a bit. So a tablespoon every day, most people would think, oh, I can't afford it. Well, I mean, you can use just anything you would buy at the grocery store, at Whole Foods, any sort of organic clean oil. You can add different essential oils to it, like a tea tree. If you have a tooth infection, you can put a drop or two of tea tree oil into it, swish it around for extra antibacterial properties. And then my favorite is to add clove to it. So if you add clove into it, it's a numbing. So if you have any sort of mouth problem, like an ulcer or any sort of like tooth problem, sometimes my sinuses get infected and they make my teeth hurt, and the clove oil just kind of like numbs the whole
thing. Would you use oil pulling in place of brushing your teeth?
You certainly could, but I'd say that brushing your teeth still has its time and place. I mean, honestly, if you were eating a very healthy vegetable-based diet, then you wouldn't need to brush your teeth, because the fiber of the plants and vegetables that you would be eating would be enough to kind of disrupt that bacteria. But otherwise, the bristle does help.
Well, okay. And they do make the coconut oil that I bought. I bought it at Free People before. I can't remember the brand. It comes in a blue tube, and my little daughter uses it. And her teeth, I have to say, have never looked whiter or better.
What is it?
It's just coconut oil, but it's already in, and it's got, I think, some peppermint oil in it.
Yeah.
And it's a tube. And I'll get the brand, and I'll actually put it out there so everybody knows.
She swishes with it or brushes with it?
She brushes and swishes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, while she's taking a shower.
Well, I make my own toothpaste, and I'll use coconut oil as a base, too.
Yeah? Well, I love it. I love all things natural, and I love Autumn Warren, and I love Mike McFarland. I can't wait to talk about what we're going to be talking about next, too, with Dr. Mike McFarland, the relationship between aging and body and image. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi guys, it's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo-poo-pee-doo.
Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Oh, Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I have Dr. Mike McFarlane in studio with me and Autumn Warren. And I have Peter Zutlin on the line. He is a freelance journalist and best-selling author whose work appears regularly in major national publications, including the Boston Globe and the Christian Science Monitor. He is the author of many books. And today we are talking about his newest book, Rescued, which releases October 3rd. For more information, go to his website. That's PeterZeutlin.com. That's PeterZeutlin. We'll put it on social media for those of you that are driving and can't write that down. I'm so honored to have you on the show, Peter. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're talking to one of the biggest animal lovers, I think, in the universe right here. I've rescued personally thousands of animals off the streets of America, everywhere that I've lived, and not one time have I ever not felt amazing after rescuing an animal. I think it's the most wonderful thing that you can possibly do for yourself, the earth, the animals out there, and most importantly, your spiritual self. I think it is a total game changer in the peace of life called happiness. And I'm just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, in the introduction to Rescued, you say that this isn't one of those cliched who rescued who books. And so how do you view the dog owner relationship? You identify us as the dog parents, if you will.
Well, you know, it's funny. When we first got our first rescue dog just a few years ago, and I was already in my late 50s, I really wrestled with this question. You know, I hear so many people refer to themselves as the dog's mommy or daddy, and it sounded a little bit off to me personally, although I certainly understand the sentiment. And yet, at the same time, and now we have three rescue dogs, you know, I really do fill that role for them. They're so dependent on us. They come into our homes. They are reliant on us for everything. My only concern about humanizing in that way is that I ultimately believe that we have to let dogs be dogs, and we can't expect them to act as humans act. And we don't want to get our expectations up for their behavior. You know, you bring a dog into your home, there's going to be a chewed up slipper, there may be accidents. And you just have to have this enormous patience and compassion for them and let them do what, and I'm not saying you let them do these things willy-nilly, but when they do happen, just understand that dogs are doing what comes naturally to them. And for me, the bottom line, when you bring a dog into your home, whether it's a rescue or not, I hope it's a rescue, but when you bring a dog into your home, yes, the dog needs to learn to live with people, but it's your job to learn how to live with a dog.
Absolutely. Well, and I think there's a direct relationship or very similar. There's a lot of similarities between children and dogs, especially young dogs, you know, that you have to let children explore and just be children, too. Keep them in where they don't get hurt. You have to have guidelines. You have to have, boundaries right. And barriers. But there's a lot of similarities, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Well, I absolutely do. I've raised two children. I have to say that, you never know what you're going to get when you have children or when you adopt a dog. They're different. Our three dogs, totally different personalities.
Yeah, and you never know. You never know what you're going to get. You really don't. And I mean, I've seen it all. I've had as many as 17 rescue dogs at once in my home. A lot of them were old at that point, and then they just stayed with us until they passed. So many wonderful stories, so much fun. My house was so full of fun with that many animals. I can't even tell you. That was before I had children.
I give you a lot of credit for taking on 17. My wife and I are outnumbered now. Our kids are gone. I feel like that's, a handful. But at the same time, dogs in many ways are easier than children. They don't crack up the car. They don't borrow money. And they don't require tuition payments. So,
they eat it.
We've just gotten so much joy. And, I tell people, what is it about particularly a rescue dog? When I think about our first dog, Albie, for example, who was very lucky to survive a high-kill shelter in Louisiana for several months, he was lost and wandering around before that. And it breaks my heart to think of that kind of suffering that he went through. So when I look at him now, asleep on the sofa, at peace and safe, my heart breaks, but then it fills up because, you know, if nobody steps up for these dogs, they're going to die.
Yep.
I mean, that is the reality. And you're in Texas. I don't know if you know, but in Houston, there are more than 1 million stray dogs that exist on the streets of Houston.
Oh, no, I do know that. Absolutely. Yeah. My parents lived in Houston for many years. My mother worked at St. Joseph's Medical Center, and she came in and out of downtown, you know, every single day as a nurse. And, I used to bring dogs home from Houston, too. That's how I ended up with 17. They're everywhere. And it just infuriates me. And I have worked so hard, Peter, to try to get people educated about how many animals there really are on the street. And that's one of the reasons I'm so thankful that you wrote this book and we're bringing this out into the general public, that people need to understand this is a real problem in this country for a lot of different reasons.
Yes, it's a serious problem. The reality is that geographically it does tend to be concentrated in the southern states. I mean, Houston is something of a ground zero for this problem. Is an enormous problem in Louisiana, where all three of our dogs came from. And, you know, one of the things that I encourage people is, you know, many of the myths that you hear about rescue dogs or shelter dogs are exactly that. They are myths. These are not damaged goods. These are precious creatures. They may require a little more patience. They may take a little more time. They take a little more time to earn their trust. But a good rescue organization is not going to place a dog with a family that it doesn't believe can succeed in that adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work with a reputable rescue organization, you know, the chances that you're going to get an absolutely wonderful dog that, believe me, will be grateful are very high. I mean, there are no guarantees in life. Nothing's a perfect science. But I would encourage people, if you're thinking about getting a dog, just think about all these dogs that are, you know, just, you know, waiting in shelters or, you know, about to be euthanized in shelters, wandering the streets of Houston and other cities that just need a second chance.
Absolutely.
They really just need a second chance.
Well, like people, a lot of people do. You know, you write in the book that dogs, like people, aren't perfect all of the time. Life isn't a beach for all the time for any of us. So we must savor and celebrate the moments when it is and push through the tough times when it's not. Most importantly, we must never give up on them.
I think absolutely. I talked to so many people for this book, you know, who had different kinds of challenges with their dogs, and, you know, the compassion that comes pouring out of you. I think that's one of the things that I learned. I was totally unprepared when Albie, our first rescue dog, came to us. I was totally unprepared for how deeply I was going to love him and, you know, how much I would feel for him when he injured a leg one time, for example, and was absolutely, you know, quivering with pain. And, you know, I just didn't expect that I would feel that way. And I think that, you know, be realistic, be optimistic, but these dogs deserve your compassion and they need your patience.
Absolutely. You know, and also, you know, one of the many great joys of rescuing a dog is that moment when you realize that they finally feel at home. And that happened to me actually last week with this little white kitten that came off the street. I was the first one to get it. And, you know, I laid in bed with it, Peter, on my lap, and it was looking at my eyes. And at that moment, it felt so safe. And I could instinctively feel it in its little body. I could see it in her little eyes. And I'm like, I'm keeping this cat. This cat's going nowhere.
Let me tell you, this is one of the questions I asked everyone I interviewed for the book, is was there a moment when your dog let you know in some way that it finally felt it had come home?
Right.
And it varied. In my own case with Albie, he was in our house for 5 weeks sleeping underneath the coffee table in the living room. He would not come upstairs to where we sleep. And we could only guess as to why. We thought maybe he'd never lived in a house with stairs. We really didn't know. But one day, it was bedtime, I couldn't find him, came upstairs, turned into our bedroom, and there he was lying in our bed. And by the way, I told my wife there was no way I was going to sleep in bed with a dog. One look at Albie, and I knew he was going to stay. And I just, you know, that was his, I describe it as his literal and figurative leap of faith.
Uh-huh.
He jumped into our bed, and I absolutely believe that was the moment he was telling us,
oh, yeah,
thank you, I'm home.
You know, and it's, I'm thinking, you know, walking through my house every morning. So at night and in the morning, good night, Zeusie boy. Good morning, Zeusie boy. That's my big, German Shepherd mix. It was someone threw it over a fence at Sky Helicopter here in Dallas, Texas, about 10 years ago. He weighed about 60 pounds. He should weigh about 100 pounds. Now that's about what he weighs. But he had heartworms, and he's the best dog in the world. And then Mick, you know, my Mickey boy, he sleeps at the foot of my bed every night. And I say, good night, Mick, and pat him on the head. It's the best feeling in the world to have him on that bed with me, and it brings me so much joy and happiness. And once you experience that, there's no turning back. There's nothing better than loving a dog and having it love you back, in my opinion.
It's a very deep pleasure, and I think, you know, for me, it's just enhanced when it's a rescue.
I mean,
people can get dogs other places. They'll be wonderful dogs. You will love them. They will love you. But when you know, if you hadn't stepped up for that dog, maybe nobody would have.
Yep.
And this wonderful creature would have perished with maybe not even having a name, no one to love it, no one to remember it.
Yep.
So to me, the pleasure is just multiplied by having a dog that really needed someone to step up for.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mick's story, and this is a good one. Everyone should hear this. This is not made up. You know, it sounds made up because it's just unbelievable. Mick was found at the end of my road on Barnesbridge Road here in Sunnyvale, Texas. And he was waiting there, and it was truly, it started to rain, and someone left him there with a bag of dog food, hoping that someone would pick him up at the end of the road. And so my former husband saw him and brought him home. We immediately adopted him. But there's story after story after story like that by the millions all over this country, and there is no reason to go out and buy a dog when you can go to a shelter and get a beautiful rescue dog and help us all clean up as a nation, right?
Yeah, I think people, you know, really, I didn't know either, frankly, when we started down the adoption road, how bad the problem really was. And to the extent that people think this is a problem, they do tend to associate it with natural events like Katrina or Hurricane Harvey. And awareness spikes after these storms, and the numbers of dogs coming into shelters spikes after these storms. But people have to understand this is a chronic, ongoing problem.
Absolutely.
It needs to be addressed every day, not just in the wake of emergency.
Peter, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We have about 30 seconds, so I have to say goodbye. I will promote the heck out of your book. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everyone. The book is Rescue. That's Peter Zeutlin, Zeutlin. We'll put it in our newsletter. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.